We are still standing, and it is my privilege to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon, two verses from the beginning of Paul's epistle to the church in Philippi, Philippians 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of His Word in our midst. And all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, do cause Your Word to sink deeply into our hearing. May we be shaped by the scalpel of Your Word. Spirit of God, provide conviction and encouragement so that we may turn from that which we should turn from and flee to that which we should adhere to. I pray this through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. And amen. You may be seated. There is a sermon outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along with that. All saints, this day and the days to come. This day. This is a day where we shall be ordaining and installing our first two deacons at All Saints Presbyterian Church. This sermon will be about the deacons and about the church, you as well, and be something of a charge to the deacons as well as a charge to you. As part of my exhortation, as part of this homily, we will also be installing the deacons. So right at the conclusion of my sermon, I'll be inviting the deacons-elect, Gene Capone and Daniel Robinson, to come forward. This day is one of encouragement. This is also a day of preparation. I'd like to be very basic with you on some of this. This is a day of encouragement and preparation, and you could ask, how come? What do you mean by that? We should be encouraged because the Lord has provided for us in such a way that we need deacons and that we have deacons. The Lord has provided deacons for us. This is encouraging. The Lord's favor has been upon us a little over 6 years now. The Lord has been very kind to this congregation, has protected us from harm, from evil, has allowed us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow with one another, and there is more to come. We have a ways to go. But let us be encouraged because the favor of the Lord has been upon us. The Lord has promised that His church will endure, but He has not promised that a particular individual congregation will endure. The Lord's favor is upon us. Let us not be filled with pride. Let us be filled with thankfulness. The Lord is equipping us as well. The Lord equips us for what He knows we are going to need. The Lord has done this in your lives individually, and He's doing that for us as a congregation as well. The Lord is preparing us. This is the same Lord who said, I am the one who knows the end from the beginning. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. And so the Lord is preparing us for that which He knows we shall face or He shall bring to us. Our days individually are marked out. Your days are marked out like the boundaries of a body of water, to use the analogy of Job. This is true individually. This is true nationally. This is true for our flock. But what is the Lord preparing us for? I don't know exactly. But I know that the Lord knows. So any time that the Lord is equipping a congregation, causing a congregation to grow in maturity, it's because the Lord is expecting us to employ and apply that maturity with what is going to be before us. And when a congregation is blessed by the Lord's favor, by the Lord's equipping, the Lord is also preparing us for that which He has for us, this particular flock. Something that you should keep in mind. The Lord is likely preparing us for not just the blessings which are ahead, but also the battles which are ahead. I have seen this time and time again. When a man or a woman, a young man or a young woman, a husband or a wife, or a congregation begins to grow and steps, making steps toward maturity, the battle intensifies. Some of you, many of you, know areas where you need to focus for greater maturity. Some areas where you need to look at and say, you know what, I need to stop doing this and I need to start doing this. I need to start leading my family in a particular way. Or I need to be a man or a woman of the Word. Or I need to be a man or a woman of prayer. There's a reason the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves earnestly to prayer, keeping alert in it, because it's work, it's warfare, it's a battle. In the Lord's preparation, He is preparing us for what's ahead. Faithfulness is to be manifested. And faithfulness is commonly demonstrated in the arenas of unfaithfulnesses as it presses forward. The structure of the church includes deacons. This is another simple point. The structure of the church includes deacons. This is part of the Lord's design. This is the Lord's flock, and this is good. Have you ever wondered why? What's the big deal about deacons? Why is it good? Why is it that the Lord would structure His church to include deacons? Well, the rest of this sermon is going to be about that. So here we go. Deacons are essential to the ministry and functioning of the church. And this is because the very nature and the function of the church is to be seen as one of service. People ought to be able to walk in here, and we're all growing in this area. People ought to be able to walk in here and to be able to see service and care for one another occurring. Various levels of maturity, yes, but progressing upon that path. The presence and the function of the diaconate or the diaconate demonstrates something about the service and the ministry of the church. This is even seen in the very name or the title, deacon. It comes from a Greek word, diakonos, or diakoneo. That's the Greek word, and we've pretty much taken that right over into English, and we've made a title out of it. What does that word mean? The word basically means this: service, to serve, or to minister. Isn't it interesting that the Lord has appointed as one of the offices in His church, servant? What does that say about the church? Does this strike you as mighty or majestic? Does it strike you as mighty or majestic when one of the officers of a particular corporation is the servant of the corporation? How can you apply that to the church? Corpus, we're a body. That's how. Does it strike you as odd that the Lord has chosen to have as one of His officers in the structure of His church, in the body of His church, to be known as servant minister? The world. The prominent ones there have servants to serve them. In the body of Christ, we have an office of servants. Diakonia, deacons, service, or ministry. And this is another aspect of that sermon series I started a couple weeks ago called The Church Curious. This is curious indeed. Those who belong to Christ are those who give. You are to be those who give. You're to be those who give of yourselves. This is the way of the gospel. This is the way of the cross. This is the way of love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Husbands, you tremble and you thank God for the equipping that is given to you when you read and you hear the language of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 about Jesus Christ. Wait, as husbands, how are you to love your wives? You're to love just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. What does love look like? It is giving. Service is an essential mark of the church. It is an essential mark of the bride of Christ, for we are the ongoing ministry of Christ in the world today. This is to be seen among us. No one gets off the hook today. No one. But about the deacons. In one sense, the deacons are to be the face of Christ, the hands of Christ, the feet of Christ among us. Our text today is straightforward, and it's before us. Paul and Timothy together writing, they are bondservants of Christ. They are addressing the church in Philippi, one particular church, a church that Paul loved dearly. He called them my crown and my joy. He addresses all of the saints in the church of Philippi and then gives honorable mention, distinctive mention, not just to all of the saints, but to the overseers, episcopoi, or bishops, and the deacons. They're mentioned straight. The church structure expects there to be deacons. So the deacons receive distinctive mention. But while the deacons are to be distinctive among the saints, and in a few moments, you are going to see two men distinctively set apart and titled as deacons among us. While they'll receive distinctive mention, this is something that is to mark each one of us. Recently, as Elder Douglas taught through Titus, he repeatedly made a very biblical observation about the qualifications for leadership in the church. You remember Paul wrote to Titus, I'm leaving you in Crete among the Cretans, or the Cretans, so that you should appoint elders in every city. And Elder Douglas he recognized the distinction between that which must be present among the elders and that which ought to be present among all of us. You're going to appoint an elder? He must be this way. But that doesn't mean the rest of you are off the hook. There's a must and an ought, or you could say there's a standard and the rest of you should be striving toward that. So while the Lord has been pleased to appoint distinctive ones for service in His church, and these are to be examples and patterns for the rest of us, we should be striving toward the same pattern, same example. So here we go. This same thing can be said of the overseers. This same thing can be said of those who preach the gospel, and this same thing can be said of the deacons. I'd like you to have your Bibles ready. I'd like you right now to open up, first of all, to the book of Hebrews. I want you to see this because no one gets off the hook. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Now, my title here is something like Minister of Word and Sacrament. But I'm one of the overseers of the church. Each one of you are to be overseeing as well. Now, the word for overseer is a compound word in Greek. Allow me to take you into the kitchen for just a moment. Episkopoi, or episkopos. Two words, epi, which means on or upon, over, epi. And then skopos, or to scope out. Somebody that sees over or oversees. That's the word episkopoi. We get the word bishop or even elder or presbyter from it. It's used that way. But each one of you are to provide oversight as well. Yes, title-wise, I am an overseer. Function-wise, each one of you are to be overseers. Hebrews 12, I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. No one's off the hook here. All of you pursue peace and holiness, without which don't even think you're going to see the Lord. Verse 15. What's one of the ways we do that? Pursuing peace and holiness. How? looking carefully, episkopeo, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. The first two words of verse 15, depending on your translation, is actually the word oversee. Provide oversight. Take note. Take a look around. Oversee yourself and oversee those around you. Why? Because I don't want anyone to fall short of the grace of God. This may be among your families. This may be among your friends. We're overseeing one another because we love one another. No one's off the hook. I'm an overseer, but we all provide oversight. The same can be said of those who minister in various ways. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now, persecution is occurring, and the church is being scattered. And from one perspective, this is horrific. Families are being separated then as they are now in Iraq. Churches are being bombed out and burned. Christian schools are being demolished. People who are in allegiance to Jesus Christ bearing His name are being slaughtered. Just, however, there's another perspective. When it looks sometimes like the Lord is not in control, the Lord will always accomplish His purposes. By the way, the book of Revelation at some point sometimes will give you the perspective from below or through the blood. The martyrs crying out. And then sometimes it'll switch the view and show you the perspective from above, above the blood, and what the Lord is accomplishing in that harvest. Same thing is happening here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Saul, who becomes Paul later on, is consenting, breathing for the murder of those who are following Jesus Christ. Verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. He entered every house and he dragged off men and women, committing them to prison. Horrific. Next verse. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. He's going into homes, yanking daddy from children, mother from children, husband from wife. Get out of here. What do? They go out preaching the word. And the word that is used there is the same word for preaching the gospel. You say, well, does that mean they were all official ministers? No, no, no. It means that they were shaped by the official ministry of the word and they went out as gospel proclaimers. No one is off the hook in here. Oversight among us. Whatever happens and wherever you go, you're to be a proclamation of the gospel. Euangelizo. You're gospel proclaimers. We trust and we pray that that's what the Lord is doing for our brothers and sisters in Iraq. Next, turn back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. This is a simple point here. The deacons have distinctive mention, but all of us are to be this way. The same can be said of overseers. The same can be said of those who preach the gospel. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name in that you have ministered diakoneo to the saints and still do minister diakoneo. All of you are addressed this way. God is not unjust so as to forget your labor and love, your labor of love which you have shown toward His name. Never forget that, because God doesn't forget it. God remembers what you have done in having deaconized one another and still diaconally treat one another. No one's off the hook. I want to ask you some questions. We are blessed to have our first two deacons installed today. But I want to ask you this. In what ways can you serve? Eyes. What do you see? Awareness. Even at times of a fellowship meal. What can be done? Are we always having to be pushed? Part of it is we'll train our children, we'll train one another. Hey, can you give me a hand with this? And then all of a sudden, an eye pops open. Right now, things are small around here. Things are simple. But what we're after here is a step-by-step faithfulness of the beauty of the Lord being seen here. Some of you are in seasons of life where things are more difficult to attend to other needs. Got it. Understood. But that doesn't mean there are not other things that can be done. Young men and young women, are you aware of the needs of your mother? At home, start there. How about of your daddy's bride? I use those terms intentionally because the church is referred to as both a bride and a mother in the scriptures. How can I serve? What can I do? Now, there's a wonderful example of this. We just saw this last week at Summer Sanctus. Parents, you need to be, once again, proud of your children. Loveliness all the way around. But when you can get together and see a group of teenage, as they're called, young men, serving one another and others, it's beautiful to behold. The young men of our flock bore the name of Christ well. Tables and chairs set up, cleaning. You know what? I know that this needed to be done, and they're out there taking care of floors. So much so that once again, and this is an emotional thing, for when camp directors and camp leaders can come up to me and say, we've never seen kids like this before. That's wondrous. Why? Because of little things. They picked up things when they walked by it. They were attending. They were attentive. They saw things. And it's beautiful. Yeah, have you ever wondered about some of the small things that can be done? I mean, whatever it's called now, Rangers Ballpark in Arlington. Who would want to go there if nobody ever cleaned up all of those thousands of seats afterwards? I mean, how sticky would those be? Little things like that, they go a long way. Who does that? It contributes to the whole. We need to begin. We need to continue. We need to press on to maturity. In all of this, those sola deo gloria. One of the solas that our Reformed tradition is happily standing under. To God alone be the glory. To God alone be the glory. Point out a few things for you. While the deacons are distinctive and set apart, still we need to remember, all of us remember this, that perfection and sinlessness belongs to Christ alone, as does the glory. Deacons are not sinless. They are servants among servants. Deacons are not perfect. They are following the example of the one who is perfect, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this, by the way, is one of the ways that Jesus receives the honor, receives the glory. Because the Lord has always been pleased to demonstrate. So what's the big deal about deacons? The Lord has always been pleased to demonstrate His glory, His majesty, and His power through that which is supposedly small and weak. Where does faithfulness begin? You look at someone who's a faithful, eminent saint, it began with small faithfulnesses way back then. It's what Bishop Ryle would have referred to as self-exertion in the now. Starting now with the small things. But so many people just want to wait for the home run or the grand slam. They're not content with their place. King David once had to say, no, those who tended to the equipment will receive just as much of a share as those who went out to battle. The Lord has always been pleased to demonstrate His power through that which is supposedly small and weak, through barren women. mustard seeds, those who were sitting in ashes or scraping themselves with pieces of pottery, those who have been brought to the end of themselves, even as our Old Testament reading today indicated. The Lord did not want Gideon or the army to in any way say, "We did pretty well on that one." That's right. 32,000, too many. 10,000, too many. I'll use 300, and they'll take care of the Midianites. There we are. Now, diaconal duties vary. Elder Douglas and I were asked repeatedly very good questions about what will the deacons be doing here. I'm just going to touch on this very briefly. We can unpack this in the future, but the reason I'm not going to codify everything is because the Bible doesn't codify everything that the deacons do. What we know of deacons in Acts chapter 6, there they were assisting with the daily distribution of food to widows. That's one thing that they do. The Bible tends to spend more time on their character, what type of person they are, than on the various tasks, and the Lord's wisdom is seen in this. Different congregations have different needs. The Lord's wisdom is seen in this. Our deacons will be our deacons. Our deacons will be your deacons for this congregation. Different congregations have different needs. Why? Well, consider a congregation of Christ's church that was under severe persecution in Iraq. What do their congregations need over against ours? Look at where the Lord has placed us. In time, in place, in history. Some congregations have been around a long time, others are fledgling. Some congregations have been around so long that the great-great-grandparents who funded the building, their great-great-grandchildren are still worshiping there. That place is going to look different than a church that is just starting and maybe meeting in a storefront. They will have distinctive needs. The underground church in China should be structured with pastors, elders, and deacons, but what will the deacons do in the underground church in China? It likely different duties than they'll do here. When the Lord provides deacons for a congregation, the Lord is doing something that is so obvious, it is like the gravity that holds us as we walk. When the Lord provides deacons for a particular congregation, He does so with and through particular men. That means that those particular men have particular skills or gifts that they will bring to the diaconate. It's no use taking a square peg and cramming it into a round hole. So when the Lord lifts up, brings about deacons in a particular flock, He'll do so according to their giftedness, but that's because the Lord knows what we need. Tasks may legitimately differ from diaconate to diaconate. Furthermore, our deacons will be learning as they go. As they pray and as they get to know you, they're going to be, "What about this? I'm seeing this." For all of this, we're going to say, "Thank God." Finally, on that, what do the deacons do? Remember, the Lord's wisdom is seen in this. When you have particular men of a particular character, they can do various things. Rather than simply saying, "Okay, our deacons will always use screwdrivers. Our deacons will always change light bulbs." Two more points and we'll conclude here. Jesus is the archdeacon. Okay, all of you are to provide oversight among one another. All of you are to be gospel messengers. Each one of you are to be diaconal with one another. You, as well as our official office-bearing deacons, are to always keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, who is our archdeacon, the first deacon, the primary deacon. What did Jesus say in Mark chapter 10? "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Diakoneo. and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our eyes are to be fixed upon Jesus Christ throughout. So if you want to know how to be a good overseer, well, let me look at Jesus. Let me learn about my Lord and act like him. I would like to be a good gospel proclaimer among you. How did Christ go about doing that? I would like to be a wonderful servant among you. Finally, what's going to happen here? This will adorn the flock of Christ. I'm not talking about the standards of those who don't belong to Christ. They think this is small and measly and nasty. What do you mean servants? We're all to be servants. I'm talking about according to the gospel. The power of the Lord delights to demonstrate his power in our weaknesses. But the beauty of the gospel will be seen increasingly among us. I rejoice, and I want you to rejoice as well. The deacons and the saints. What I'd like to do now is to offer a bit of a charge to our elected, soon to be installed and ordained deacons. I'm going to be very particular now. Gene, Daniel, you are to be distinctive servants among the servants of the people of God. You are to be deacons among this flock, the flock that bears the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to beware. I want you to beware that we have an ancient foe who hates faithfulness to God's ways and God's word. So be on guard. Be humble. May the Spirit of God equip you men to be examples of service and love to this flock. May you be men who glorify the Lord in all that you do. May your eyes be constantly fixed upon Jesus Christ. And may you adorn your confession and adorn the gospel. I'd like to conclude this particular charge with these words from Scripture. From 1 Timothy 3, verse 13, "For those who have served well as deacons, they obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." I say to you, gentlemen, serve well, and by our Lord's promise, you shall obtain a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I'd like to invite Elder Douglas forward, as well as Mr. Capone, Mr. Robinson, to come stand. Pictures are all right, and if the family members are awake and alert in a little bit, I'll be inviting the family members to come up for pictures. If they're not, we'll get a picture later. Gentlemen, you know these questions that I'm going to be asking you? I'm going to ask you 5 questions. I'll ask you together. I ask you to answer distinctly so the congregation can hear. Do you believe the Scriptures, as contained in the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, to be the inerrant Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? Do you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt in good faith the doctrinal standards of this church, as contained and explained in our creeds, confessions, and catechisms, as being true to the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? And do you further promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the fundamentals of this doctrine, you will, on your own initiative, make known to your session the charge of which has taken place in your views since the assumption of this ordination vow? Do you?
I do.
Do you approve the form of government and discipline of this church as being in conformity with the general principles of biblical polity? Do you?
I do.
Do you accept the office of deacon in this church and promise faithfully to perform all the duties thereof and to endeavor, by the grace of God, to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and to set a worthy example before the church of which God has made you an officer? Do you?
I do.
Finally, do you promise to strive for the purity, peace, unity, and edification of the church? Do you so promise? I have a question for the congregation. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to invite you to stand and answer. Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive these men, your brothers in the Lord, as deacons? And do you promise to yield to them all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which this office, according to the Word of God, entitles them? That's the question. I now invite you to stand. Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive these men, your brothers in the Lord, as deacons? And do you promise to yield to them all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which this office, according to the Word of God, entitles them? Do you?
Do.
Elder Douglas, let us pray for these men.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, you are the source of all honor. You assign to each his rank. You give to each his ministry. You remain unchanged. Yet, you watch over all. You foresee all things in your providence and make due provision for every age. You make the church, Christ's body, grow to its full stature. You enrich it with every kind of grace and perfect it with a diversity of members to serve the whole body in a blessed pattern of unity. Lord, look with favor on these men whom we now dedicate to the office of deacon, servants of your church. Lord, send forth upon these men the Holy Spirit that they may be strengthened by and manifest the fruits of the Spirit. Give them grace and zeal to carry out faithfully the work of ministry. May they excel in every virtue, in love that is sincere, in concern for the sick and the poor, in unassuming authority, in wise administration, in self-discipline, and in holiness of life. May their conduct exemplify your commandments and lead your people to imitate the purity of their own lives. May they remain strong and stand fast in Christ, giving the world the witness of pure conscience. May they in this life imitate your Son who came not to be served, but to serve. Protect them, we pray, for our enemy will further seek to strike at their faith and frame. Bless their families with protection and grace as well, supplying their wives with faithfulness and steadfastness in standing with them. And bless their children with cheerful obedience and grant that they never depart their father's faith. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer. Lord, we thank you for Gene and Daniel, for your providence in bringing them and their families to this congregation. We thank you for their love for you, for your word, and for your church. We also thank you for the gifts and abilities you have given to them. We thank you for your calling and equipping them to serve as deacons in your church. We thank you for working in their hearts and lives to give them a sense of call, and also for working in the hearts and minds of the elders, the members of this congregation, to confirm this call. Give these men the confidence of your presence through the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Give them courage and wisdom to handle the new responsibilities which are placed upon them. We pray for their devotional life, their family life, and their vocations. With all the responsibilities they have weighing upon them, give them discipline over their time and the ability to order their priorities. Give them humility along with this honor that is being placed upon them. Give them the grace to lead by serving. Give them listening ears to hear the people of the congregation and attend to their needs. May they be strong and true witnesses for you in this community. May the fruit of the Spirit be evidenced in their lives: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Grant them ready and steady encouragement to arise from this, your flock, to them. Protect them from all harm, from evil, and from the evil one. And may they be examples of your kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. O Lord, we ask that you will now set these brothers apart for the task to which you have called them, and this by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus, the head and Savior of the church, and all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated. I now declare that these men, Gene Capone and Daniel Robinson, having been elected, ordained, and installed in a manner agreeable to the Word of God and in accordance with the All Saints Presbyterian Church Constitution, are now deacons in this congregation and as such are entitled to all encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. This is declared in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us welcome them. Families, if you are available, you're welcome to come and stand by your husbands, your fathers. I have a few more things to read here. Capone family, August 8th, 2014. My wife and I only had the privilege to know Gene and Julie for the 3 short years they were stationed in Japan. It was a long enough time, however, to gain sincere respect for Gene as a leader, a father, and a husband. My son, Ben Zedek, remarked to me more than once about Gene's character and how he learned from Gene just by being around him. As a father, Gene set an example for the men in our church. His sons were well-disciplined and mannerly, but still 100% vigorously energetic boys. Gene's consideration for his wife and attention to her offered men in our church a concrete picture of what it means for a husband to love his wife. Julie's cheerful and enthusiastic mothering and her evident respect and love for her husband presented an equally concrete picture of a godly wife and mother. Gene, now God is calling you to do in an official capacity for All Saints Presbyterian Church what you did for us in Mitaka. Be an example for Christ's flock. To be called as a deacon is an honor and a blessing. I am confident that you will serve Christ's church with the same dignity and grace that I have observed here in Japan. Pastor Ralph Smith. Robinson family. August 8th, 2014. When Tricia, Beth Robinson's mother and my wife, first knew she was pregnant with twin girls, she began to pray for the two individual men that would marry Elizabeth and Tabitha. Her prayers were not hit and miss, or when she remembered to pray. They were fervent and sincere, daily, if not multiple times daily. The point I want to make is that God answered the prayers of this righteous woman, placing godly men in both Tabitha and Elizabeth's lives to take up the responsibility, not only in the home, but in their church and the community. Daniel Delton Robinson, the godly man you are today affirming, his call by God to the office of deacon is Beth's husband. But so much more than that, he is a child of God who has Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and seeks to please the Father in heaven every day. Daniel is a man of solid, unwavering Christian character, which only the Holy Spirit could have placed in him. As far as priorities in life go, I would request of him not to change anything. Daniel is first and foremost a godly man full of the Spirit of God. He is diligent in his walk with our Heavenly Father and takes full responsibility for the nurture and care of his family, spiritually and in every other way. This is very important, but it is also a recognizable trait that gives confidence to you as a church family as you ordain him to be a deacon servant, serving the needs of this church family to the honor and glory of God. I need not go through the deacon qualifications and such, for they are as recognizable in this man. When I see Daniel or get with him to fellowship, I always recall a very special yet challenging song I love to sing. Let others see Jesus in you. Daniel, I do see Jesus in you. Church, this man, Daniel Delton Robinson, will serve you well and bring honor and glory to our God and Father and the Bride of Christ, the Church. Pastor Billy Weckel. I welcome you, and I give thanks to our Lord for what He is doing in our midst. I rejoice with you. Please, again.